back. It's a crime. It's a crime.
Here come the drums.
CRIMEWAV. You're rolling with the Crime Wave, the internet's first and only podcast devoted to the crime short story. I'm Seth Harwood, your host, the first name in crime podcast fiction, and I'm ready to bring you this week's story. Vicki Hendricks is a noir writer from Hollywood, Florida. She teaches writing at Broward College down there and has published the novels Miami Purity, Iguana Love, Voluntary Madness, Sky Blues, and her latest, Cruel Poetry, which is especially steamy. She'll be reading the first half of this week's story, Must Bite, here today.
Hi, this is Vicki Hendricks. I'm a noir writer, which by my definition means that I will be taking you into the mind of at least one twisted individual. I also enjoy using plenty of sex and violence, and this story is one of my most bizarre. It was first published in 2006 by Thunder's Mouth Press in the collection Dying for It, Tales of Sex and Death. I hope you enjoy it. Must Bite. I thought I'd seen everything and survived it, and I was fucking sick of it. I'd been dancing in Key Largo for 4 years since age 21, and men were nothing but work to me. I enjoyed women's company, but since women were a dead end economically, I was looking for a dick with major dollar signs flashing. I was ready to pack up for Miami because summer in the Keys was such poor pickings. Then came my lucky night, the night Rex turned up. Sleaze, the manager, came into the club dressing room to get me, so I knew he'd got a tip. "He wants the monkey," Sleaze told me. "That be you." "The monkey?" I caught my breath. "Who is he?" Spunky Monkey was the nickname Pop gave me back home in Indiana, but he was long dead, and nobody in the Keys knew that name. "Guy in his 40s, big guy, wad of cash." "He asked for monkey?" "Yeah, you used a trapeze last number, right?" I nodded. Sleaze jerked his thumb toward the bar. "Cool." I tossed on a robe over my bare shoulders and moved my ass out. I had a real acrobatics performance, and I felt appreciated when it wasn't wasted on a bunch of drooly burnouts. The usual crowd didn't care if you could keep time with the music, as long as they could smell your cunt. Tips were lean at reefers, and a special request meant I could set my own price. The best kind of reward. I was compact and muscular and kept up my gymnast skills from junior high. Being called monkey was a compliment, although as a redhead I had less body hair than most of the girls. With big blue eyes, I didn't really look like a monkey. Rex was facing me from the bar, catching my titty action as I walked, what little there was. Attractive, considering he was close to 50, had a tan face, salt and pepper hair, and a hard, smooth jaw. About twice my size sitting down. I was barely 100 pounds, the smallest chick during off-season. I took my stance in front of him, legs wide, hands on hips, robe thrown back on my arms. This was how I met all the big boys. "I'm Darlene. Lap dance?" "Let me look and decide." He'd seen all there was, since I'd already swung naked with my legs wide open, a foot over his head, but I turned around and bent over, lifting the robe to my waist. The thin chain of the G-string didn't cover my little shaved mound from behind, and I got wet, feeling his eyes hone in. Pop always told me it was a good thing to enjoy your work, because that's mostly what life is made of. Too bad I didn't enjoy it quite enough. I bent farther and looked between my legs. His mouth was half open, and I got a sudden need for his tongue, like I could come the instant it split me. "I'd like a date," he said. I stood up and turned around. "I don't do dates. I always lied to get the price up." "Never?" "Not much." He grabbed my arm as I started to walk away and showed me 300s. I asked for 4. His place, after work, he'd wait outside. When I came out a little after 2, it was raining and smelled like a jungle, musty and thick. Mosquitoes swarming the light under the awning, waiting to bite. Tree frogs with their creepy grunts. There was one car, sparkling under the low streaming palms, headlights shining through the downpour, beacons to my fate. He pulled up and the passenger side opened. I slung my ass on the leather seat. Cool Mercedes. He smiled at my thin, wet shirt and held out his hand for me to shake. Rex. He turned left behind Shell World, and we passed Bluefin Marina, then snaked down a long private drive. It was dark. Dripping vines and fronds dragged across my window, and the Mercedes bumped along slow. He pulled under a concrete block, two-story stilt house, and when I got out, I could hear the lapping of water out back and caught the scent of rotten eggs that reminds you when it's low tide in the Keys. He motioned me up the stairs on the side and flicked on a light. We passed sacks of feed and huge empty cages, scratched mirrors, a rope ladder, chewed up rubber toys, and a large doll, her eyes following me. Rex crooked his finger in my direction, and I climbed the stairs, wondering if I'd get a chance to see what this was all about. He seemed to have a rule about not talking. I could handle it. Rex opened the door to a Florida room with a built-in bar, lots of shiny bottles on the shelves, sparkling mirror tiles. He picked up a glass. I shook my head. I'd had too much of that sickening champagne at the club. He put his finger to his lips, and I followed him past two closed doors with small barred windows, tiptoeing. Sounds of huffing, snoring, and heavy movement came from inside. Must be renting out rooms to crazy old farts, I thought. He led me upstairs to the loft. The rain had stopped, and clouds drifted over the moon outside the balcony window. Rex wasn't the usual trick. He didn't act cool or order me around. He took me in his arms and kissed my neck, breathing hot, and held back my hair to uncover more skin. Normally, I would have broken it off and set some rules, but I was geared up to think that something interesting could come of this, with all his bucks. I dropped my snotty whore act and let myself go. He held my head back and planted the softest kisses on my mouth. His breath was sweet. No garlic, no rotten teeth, no cigarettes. I wondered how he was with mine. I kissed him back, and he had to cut it off to get a breath. He stripped me down so softly, I felt like I was the one who paid. I held on to the dresser as he knelt in front of me, his fingers opening me up, and tongued my clit. I felt myself melting, legs going weak. He pulled me on top of him and slipped in his hard cock, smooth and wide. I let him do everything he wanted, not for the money, but because it felt so good. Slow, hip-slapping, deep penetration. Me on top, his fingers pulling at my cheeks. One finger went into my ass, sending tiny jolts of pleasure into the tightness of my cunt. I pulled myself astride to take him even farther in, gripping as I raised myself to the tip, then bouncing down, feeling every inch of him smooth and hot. I lifted my ass and swiveled my body, moving my feet and turning his legs for the reverse cowboy. The view of my ass that makes them all come. But he turned back to me, saying, I need to see your face. He sat up and lifted my ass to his lap with such strong arms, so gently and deliberately, looking me straight in the eye, that I let my world dissolve. Slow, wet, and warm, he rocked me up and down, softly, teeter-totter, over and over. I was loose as a rag doll, but he held me close and kept me moving, strong and even, until I came from his cock, something that didn't happen often. In all the years since Pop turned me out, I'd never felt so appreciated by a man. That night, he made sure I'd want to see more of him. He knew how good he was, and the attention I needed. I'm sure he'd searched for a girl like me in all the local places, my athletic build and helpful personality, my need to get out of that disgusting club, and a nickname like Monkey. When I told him how he hit on that, I saw the light come into his eyes. I was a perfect fit. The next morning, I opened my eyes to bright sun sneaking through the blinds. I was surprised at the clean tropical style of the bedroom. No sign of mismatched furniture with broken arms or rings from glasses, no scary stained sheets, not even a scratchy couch with burn holes like most Key Largo guys seemed to own. The bed and nightstands were heavy-duty bamboo, stuff I'd buy if I saw it in a thrift shop. He had orchids and other plants outside on the balcony. Nice place, I said when I saw his eyes open. Want to stay? I tried to calculate a price for the day. Come on, let me show you around. I started to climb out of bed, but my foot got tangled in the sheet, and he caught me before I fell. His hands went straight to my hips. I couldn't resist that tongue. He dug right in, and it was an hour before we dragged ourselves out. "Now you stand behind me when I open the door," he said. We were outside of one of the two doors on the first floor. I stepped back so I could only see his big body. "Hey, guys," he called out. "I have someone for you to meet." He turned to me. "It's okay. They're relaxed." He stepped aside. I knew these were not going to be humans from the sounds I could hear. There they were, four monkeys, two of them nearly my size, looking at me. The smallest one had a finger in its mouth, like a child. The ceiling was high, must have been two stories, and there were trapezes mounted on beams. The windows were barred. A few piles of shit were off to the sides, and one wall had a hole punched through the plasterboard, exposing more bars inside the wall. I could see through a barred door in the middle of the wall that there was a bigger monkey in the next room. "Hear no evil, think no evil, and speak no evil," I asked, pointing 1, 2, 3. "I'm not sure of the order. They're not quite that well behaved." Two of them came over, and I reached down to take the hand held out to me. The fingers were long and warm and light, like a sweet pair of leather gloves. Rex touched their heads gently. "These are spider monkeys, females, Itsy and Bitsy. Went up the waterspout?" "You got it. Don't give me credit for those names either. The other two are Mac and Sweetums, male and female." I could see what seemed to be penises hanging from three of their asses, but no balls. "Females?" "Spider monkeys have elongated vaginas. It makes mating impossible except when they're fertile, every 4 years. Rape-proofing. The boys must get horny." "Mac masturbates often, although not as much as Big Man." He pointed into the next room. Sweetum stayed back, but Mac came up and took my hand, putting my fingers into the coarse hair on his back. I started to scratch, and he leaned into it. "Don't let him get carried away," said Rex. I took my hand off, and sure enough, Mac grabbed my wrist and forced my hand back between his shoulder blades. "They are willful." Rex pried the long fingers from my wrist and disentangled the legs and tail clutching my thigh. He took Mac's wrist in one hand and pushed his body back with his shoulder. Mac arched and squirmed, making shrill shrieks. Rex tossed him into a mattress in the corner. "Dash!" I broke for the door, and Rex pushed it almost closed behind us, but not quite, because he had to stop and tuck a small hand inside. "They like you," he said. "A lot. I knew it. Be careful what you start." "Don't they usually like people?" "Not really." "So where'd you get all these monkeys?" I could hear the other one rumbling around, wanting attention. He locked the door and opened the next room. A monkey was waiting for us and took my hand in his warm grip. "This is the chimp, Big Man. He's an ape, not a monkey. He was named when I got him. You'll see why." "I do already," I said. "He's as tall as me." "That's not what I mean." He used his fingers to sign words as he spoke to Big Man. "Darlene, friend," he said. Big Man puckered up his lips, but I couldn't quite bring myself to kiss him. Rex took my hand and motioned me to walk out in front of him. Big Man glared but didn't move. Rex turned and signed, "Bye-bye, breakfast time." He shut the door and locked it. "You taught them sign language?" "No. When we bought Big Man, they told us he understood signs. I learned some words so I could talk to him, but he never talks back. I think he understands, though." "What about the spiders?" "They don't pay much attention." "Big Man must be bored." "I entertain him. One chimp is hard enough to handle. Come on, I'll get their breakfast." Rex led me into the kitchen. It was huge, with two stainless steel refrigerators. He opened one filled with vegetables. "I knew they'd take to you." "I like them too," I said. I was starving, but I didn't say anything because the animals were waiting. They were hungry and dependent on Rex, and it was my fault that breakfast was late. I insisted on helping. We set everything out on the long preparation table and sink. I washed pounds of carrots, celery, and a bag of apples, while Rex rinsed heads of lettuce. We divided the vegetables onto two trays and poured the monkey chow into the five bowls with their names. Together we served them, first Big Man, then Itsy and Bitsy, Sweetums and Mac. I stood outside the window and watched them eat. Big Man sat and stuffed his face with a head of lettuce, pieces falling from his open mouth, making a big wet mess on the floor as he chewed, showing us how starved he was because we stayed upstairs fucking. Itsy and Bitsy chowed down too, occasionally glancing over their shoulders at me. I knew the feeling, your meals being in someone else's control. Been there. Rex sponged up the water and dirt we'd left on the countertop while I made the coffee. So where'd you get them? I asked him. It was a business. Monkey business? He laughed. You got it. Circus? No, a petting zoo of sorts with some shows. The stage and big cages are still outside. It was my ex's idea, Julia. She taught them the tricks, and it was fun for a while. We never made money, spent it all on food and vet care, but she had money anyway. The monkey hut was her hobby. You want some bacon and eggs? Sure. And then she split? She left me the place and investments so I could take care of the monkeys. Ouch, I said. She was generous. It was my fault. We never talked. She never complained? She might have. He put a skillet on the stove and went to the second refrigerator and pulled out a package of bacon and a carton of eggs. They'll smell this, he said. Ignore the noise. I don't give them meat. Spider monkeys are vegetarian, and Big Man gets too wild. He wants it all. The bacon had barely started to sizzle when there was a loud howl. Others took up the scream, and then there was pounding, like one was beating on a tray. The screeching got louder, and one of them started banging on the door. Metal doors? I asked. Yeah, don't worry. They'll settle down in a minute. It took about 5 minutes, but I thought, fuck, Rex is a kind man to care for all these animals, and I could live in a place like this. He can even make me come. Unusual for a man. By then, I didn't have any romantic notions. I'd settle for a nice home, some monkeys to play with. I was sure I could still get out now and then with my girlfriends. So Rex was devoted to monkeys, and I was the new monkey. That must have flickered in his mind when he saw me, and I had nothing against it, if enough money came my way. Over the next month, Rex picked me up almost every night. I got on well with everybody. Rex and I took care of their meals together, and I scratched backs and gave treats. The kids brightened up every time I came into their rooms. At dusk, I fixed the strawberry yogurt, oatmeal, and flan combination that filled out their dietary needs. They'd stick their little faces into it or squeeze it through their fingers and lick it off. I felt appreciated more than I'd ever have expected, more than most of my life. I told Rex if he installed a big trapeze in the spider's room, I could swing with them. He had it up in 2 days, no surprise. I climbed up naked and went into my act, swinging with my ass on the bar, then dropping to hang by my knees. But before I got any farther, Max swung over and whipped past me, switching from hands to feet to tail and flinging himself to the other trapezes and back again. I couldn't compete. He scared me, coming so close. But he was perfect in his moves. Sweetums joined in, and soon they were both swinging fast and switching hands, feet, and tails, synchronizing with each other. I pulled myself up to watch. Don't stop, Rex hollered. I want to see you, not them. I hung by my arms and swung a little. I pulled my legs above my body in a split across the bar, like I'd done the first night he saw me. Rex came over and gave me a greedy stare. The trapeze was just high enough for him to reach my vital parts. No accident. And he slurped at me a couple of times as I swung toward him, and then he grabbed. The monkeys just kept cavorting around us, but he ate me like a starving man, ignoring them, and I hung limp on the trapeze, all feeling concentrated in one spot. When I opened my eyes, all four spiders were watching, and Big Man was watching from the next room and grunting. I'm not sure who thought of marriage first, but things moved fast. A captain friend of Rex's married us on his sailboat, and we put on a party at Reefer's. Sleaze got in some decent champagne, specially for me. I was glad to be saying goodbye to that place and all the sucking up that went with it. We planned on a honeymoon in the Bahamas for a few days, but on the morning after the wedding, Bitsy got sick and we had to cancel. Rex was afraid to leave her with the sitter, a teenage boy who was supposed to stop by. She didn't look that sick to me, no puking or diarrhea, but she just lay on the mattress and held her stomach instead of eating her breakfast. Rex said that was a sure sign. When we canceled our flight and looked in on her, she'd gotten up and was eating the remains from Itsy. I thought sure she'd faked her illness, but it was too late to worry about it. Rex promised we could try it again soon. The kids didn't like everyone, and they needed lots of human interaction every day. It wasn't any big deal. The monkeys were more fun than most people I knew. I had them spoiled in the first week. I started giving them an extra treat or two each day, a cookie or a few crackers. They loved French fries, too, but I was careful not to go too far with the grease. None of them would keep a diaper on. I hadn't counted on so much shit. It seemed to pile up more and more, maybe from the treats, or else Rex was falling down on the cleaning. I hadn't bargained on it, but I started pitching in on shit detail. They were mine now, too, and they would cuddle and kiss me when I sat with them. "Why not use the big cages outside?" I asked Rex one day. "We could squirt them out easier." "We used to. You can't keep neighborhood kids from sneaking around, sticking their arms inside." "The monkeys seem so tame, even Big Man." He shook his head. One time Mac grabbed a handful of a girl's hair. He just wanted to smell her shampoo, but he's so strong. She told her parents he tried to scalp her. The father came back with a gun. Lucky I was home. "That's crazy." "Yeah, but when they get that look, like a war going on inside, watch out. One second, everything is nice, nice, love, love, and the next, must bite, must bite." It flashes in their eyes. "They're always so sweet to me. So far, you can't predict when somebody will get jealous or want one of us for himself, especially Big Man."
That is part one of Must Bite by Vicky Hendrix. Be back next week when I will give you part two of Must Bite at crimewave.com. If you want to hear more crime fiction, go over to sethharwood.com where you can hear Jack Wakes Up, Jack Palms 2, and Jack Palms 3, all free crime novel podcasts. It's basically an audiobook in installments, all yours for free. Any questions about how to do podcasts or put them on your MP3 player, check the help page on this site. Check out the forums, and we'll be back to you soon.